Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, joined by Joe Masato here at Chesapeake Energy Arena after the Thunder's 121-119 loss to the Bucks. Joe, this was a... Honestly, I did not have high hopes for this game. I thought it was just going to be like, oh, cool, we get to watch how great Giannis is, and it ended up being a thriller.
Yeah, I mean, my high hopes were watching Giannis, but, I mean, the Thunder are coming off a back-to-back. You are facing one of the league's best teams and the league's best player, and, I mean, it was another very close competitive game, had so much going on, and I don't even know where to begin. I mean, this was another one in a line of good, exciting games for the Thunder so far.
I think the best place to begin is that Giannis breaks people and things.
Yeah. A little bit of property damage here at the arena.
So we'll just tease that first. Yeah.
Stay tuned.
I think part of it was the Thunder's game plan on defending him, where they wanted to draw fouls and get him frustrated. And evidently it worked, but you saw guys just throwing their bodies at him. He had three turnovers in the first half, and the third came from Dennis Schroeder drawing a charge. He tried to do that another time, which didn't work, but at the same time Terrence Ferguson didn't get charged for, or didn't get awarded with a block, but basically blocked him. He did, it's in there. Terrence Ferguson blocked Giannis onto Antetokounmpo.
That was the loudest, I mean, well, not to give it away, but that was the second loudest moment of the night. when Terrence Ferguson blocked Giannis, it was the loudest I thought the peak had been all season. And then Gallinari's three to tie the game late in the fourth quarter went up to that. But they were, I mean, Giannis was beating guys up in the first half. Like, you know, Ferguson just looked physically, like he was like shaken up. He was going right, like, we were both stunned, I think, that Gallinari started on Giannis defensively, but they put Bazley on him. They put Ferguson on him.
He had a little breakaway, and Chris Paul ran back and basically just got like knocked off his feet and went into a little roll and didn't get the foul called. And so like people were just literally getting pushed around, even though he was not having that great of a game.
No, he wasn't. Like, at halftime, I was thinking, are we, like, seeing Giannis's worst game so far this season? Because for four consecutive games, he had scored at least 30 points with 10 rebounds. He's just got crazy numbers across the board. And he was really quiet at halftime, and that led to some frustration.
He had 11 points, and... starting with that block, you could see him seething for like possessions afterwards.
He was angry.
And then he misses two free throws right before halftime. He comes off and he like bites his jersey and it tears.
This is a real thing that happened.
How like those jerseys are made to be durable. Like,
he like bit it at the neck, used his teeth and his hands to like rip it, and it worked. And then I'm just gonna go ahead, this is my favorite part of the night. I mean, he kicks so lining the away tunnel in the home tunnel are these little, you know, Thunder, these little barriers with like Thunder logos on them, and these things are not like super thin.
No, they are solid. I don't know what they're made out of. It could just be plastic, but it feels like fiberglass or something like that. They're thick.
Giannis destroyed one with his foot.
He kicked one all the way through. And I talked to some people who watched it. One person said that it sounded like a gunshot, which like, yeah, if you're destroying something like that, it's going to be loud.
It could have been bad. Like, there's been stories of, you know, guys like hitting the glass of like a fire extinguisher case and like ripping their hand apart. Like, I'm really glad he didn't like cut himself on it or like injure his foot, because like I bet he was pretty surprised how much resistance he probably got from that sign.
It sounds like they have them back in Milwaukee because he offered one up.
Yeah, I asked him about it after the game, and he said that he was kind of embarrassed by the whole thing about like losing his temper. And he offered to pay for the sign, or he said he can trade one when the Thunder goes to Milwaukee. Like, he's going to present the Thunder with a Bucks sign. And I kind of want to say, like, hey, how's that going to help? They're not going to, like, replace it with the Bucks sign.
It's just like, Thunder, 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 Bucks, Thunder, Thunder, Thunder.
It would be pretty cool, though, if he, we're going to have to keep following that story to see what happens, but...
I think it would be great. Like, obviously, the Thunder would not want a little Bucks sign in the middle of their barrier. But, like, that would be a kind of nice memento to, like... And it's... I mean, granted, they lost. If they won, it would have been probably a more proud moment. But, like, hey, look at how much we frustrated Giannis that he kicked... He ruined this and then sent us a new one.
Yeah. So, I mean... There were physical signs of his frustration, from biting the jersey to kicking the sign, and then he dominated for the final two quarters.
You said that you were ready for him to have the worst game of this season. I was holding my breath, not to just pat myself on the back, but we've seen how the Thunder do in third quarters as of late. And
poorly.
And last year... It wasn't nearly the big swing that we saw tonight, but they did a really good job on him in the beginning. I forget which game it was. I think it was the first game. And it was pretty quiet and then came out and got into a rhythm. And so I was like, ooh, that's probably going to happen. There's no way that, like, I would have been surprised if he, I was going to say, finished the game with only 22 points. That's not something you could say about most people. Like, oh, just 22. But if he had just doubled what he'd done in the first half. But no, he came out and I think it was like back-to-back possessions where he just like barreled through and around people and made these reverse dunks that were ridiculous. But also he made it look easy and he was just, he was in control.
Yeah, I mean, just his length around the rim and his ability to just extend his arms and, like, get to places that don't seem possible to, like, get a shot off. And, like, he's so strong, he's so long that, like, I just watch him and I'm like, I don't think it's possible to, like, stop him in certain situations.
No, he had a dunk where it wasn't even like, oh, let's make this big moment. It was just like, oh... Here's an opportunity for a dunk, and I'm pretty sure he jumped from around the free throw line.
Yeah.
But I mean, it wasn't though. Like, we're saying all this when you're playing players like the MVP, the reigning MVP. There are some times when they just get into a groove, and you just do whatever you can to weather it. And the Thunder, like, yes, they were outscored 37-24, but it did not feel like the third quarters, the like past two third quarters where they against the Warriors was probably the worst example, where they had a massive lead and then just kind of crumbled.
This one was much more understandable. It's Giannis. He was angry and he got what he wanted. Like, against the Warriors, it's like, how can you get outscored 41-24 in the third by the Warriors? The Bucks, 37-24, their third quarter struggles continued, but like, it's hard not to expect that.
Right. And even the Spurs, it was like they were really competitive, and then kind of, it wasn't even that they didn't, that they lost intensity, they just didn't bring it up as the Spurs did, and like that also felt kind of like a letdown. But tonight, like the intensity still seemed to be there, and then the fourth quarter was really impressive.
Yeah, I mean, during the game, I mean, mostly because we're trying to like get some stuff written so we can like have it ready to go. Like sometimes you, or sometimes I have a tough time multitasking and sometimes lose track of the situation. I didn't realize how impressive the Thunder's comeback actually was real time. I mean, with just over 2 minutes left, they were down by 11. And then in a minute and a half, basically, they totally erased an 11-point lead. This really strange sequence when Milwaukee was called for a five-second violation on the inbounds where, like, we were all looking at each other like, what the heck just happened? Because it seemed so fast. And then the Thunder made them pay immediately. Danilo Gallinari, who had been 1 of 8 from three, made a three to tie the game at 114, and, like, this place was going crazy.
Yeah, no, that, like you said, that was the loudest. That's probably the loudest we've heard all season.
I think it is.
Yeah. I mean,
everyone was standing up, going crazy.
And Gallinari shot 4 of 17 tonight. We are so used to him.
What, 2 of 10 from 3.
What Chris Paul always goes back to is they joke about how, I think he says, coach, I'm pretty sure that's Billy Donovan, says that Gallo can go get 20 in his sleep, and they laugh about it, but it's true. Tonight, it was not that way. He kept, like, he had some very uncharacteristic misses, but then came up clutch exactly when they needed him to.
Yeah, I mean, that was a really, really big shot. Coming into the night, he's fifth in the league in made three-pointers. Like, he's only behind, like, James Harden, Damian Lillard, Kemba Walker and Buddy Hield. I just looked this up. This isn't me reciting this off
head. Just make him. So, no, like, it totally is. You know,
it's
all
crazy. It's crazy though. Like,
and those are guys
behind those guys.
Those are guys who have the ball in their hands all the time.
Yeah,
Gallinari does not.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why it was so surprising to see him struggle as he did tonight, and then he makes that, you know, game tying three. Brook Lopez, everyone expected Milwaukee for Giannis to finish it off, basically, and they set up a good play to get Brook Lopez wide open for a good look.
Yeah, no, they did. So immediately after they tied up, call a timeout, and Billy Donovan said that, you know, as soon as they set up and they had Giannis starting way back, I think he was over half court, and the Thunder immediately recognized the play. And so their goal was to, as he said, like, form a wall and not let Giannis get downhill. And they didn't want... the way that Billy Donovan described it was that they didn't want to space it out too much and then have him essentially get by a guy. And so they executed their game plan. They formed that wall. They kept him from getting to the basket. But Giannis being Giannis, kicked it back out. And then the Bucks made the extra pass, and Brook Lopez was wide open. And when you have your bigs both under the basket, and, I mean, when you're collapsed like that, then that leaves a guy like Brook Lopez, who's huge and can shoot over anyone, but then... You have Dennis Schroeder, he's listed as 6'1", but...
These are supposed to be legit now.
I'm pretty sure that's what shoes. And he, you know, last minute tries to contest it, but, like, he can only do so much with his size, and he ended up flying past him and took a step to the side and drained the three, and, you know, then it's 117 to 114 with 25 seconds left on the clock. And I mean, in the end, it came down to, was it a couple of free throws?
And yeah, I mean, Gallinari had another chance to tie it and he missed. Bucks get the rebound and basically free throws to clinch it.
Yeah. And to the Thunder's credit, after those free throws, it was like, okay, that's it. It's literally impossible for them to win the game now. They have 4 seconds or something like that on the clock. They only have enough time for one play. I believe they're out of timeouts. And So you have one play and you're down by more than one score. So do the math. It's over. But, you know, Chris Paul took the ball up and made a running three. And
for the Thunder, 17-3. I mean, that's pretty they attempted 42, by the way, which is crazy high for them. Shot 40%.
And
that was really the difference. Like, that's how they kept it close, because the Bucks shot it much better than they did, 57% to 50%, basically. But the Thunder had 17 threes to the Bucks 11. Bucks shot 16 free throws, though. I mean, Giannis got to the line in the second half. But, yeah, I mean, it was – and Billy Donovan, speaking of the offense, I said 30 assists last game was a crazy high number for them. They had 31 today, so they're getting
one more.
They're getting better. I mean, they were 28th in the league on Friday, and I think when we check on Monday, they're probably going to be climbing considerably in that category.
Well, it helps when you're making those catch and shoot threes. I mean, you had Mike Muscala.
Billy Donovan loves talking about potential assists.
He does. He does. It would be interesting. They got an insane number of potential assists. Mike Muscala continued to shoot well from three. He was 4 of 9 tonight, which...
All four in the... He was their leading scorer at halftime.
Yeah, considering his 1 in 19 start from three, like, that's...
Was he 3 of 5 yesterday?
I don't remember.
I could look this up, but I think it was 3 of 5. So, like, this back-to-back games with more than three threes for him, which is a vast improvement.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not surprising. Like, I'm pretty sure we've said multiple times, like, he's going to get better.
Yeah.
He's shot better in his career. It's not like he's just going to continue to forget how to shoot threes. It wasn't like a – I mean, we saw that with Patrick Patterson, who, by the way, is having – I'm not trying to drag him. Yeah, he's having some success out in Los Angeles. But we saw last year he'd start heating up and you'd be like, oh, he's back. And then it would last a game or two and you'd be like, oh, no. Because he's a good shooter. And for whatever reason, Patrick Patterson, I'm talking about, did not.
I'm getting Patrick Patterson and Mike Muscala mixed up now. So thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, it's the alliteration.
Yeah, that's right.
Patrick Patterson. What was I saying?
I don't know, but like, shout out Patrick Patterson for making a guest appearance today.
Former Thunder Buddies podcast.
I'm going to make a harsh transition here.
Oh,
speaking of former players, you pointed this out. Former Atlanta Hawks players played pretty well tonight against their former coach.
True.
Mike Budenholzer.
You do realize we were talking about Mike Muscala. That would have been a very easy transition.
Well, I know, but then you started talking about Patrick Patterson.
You're right. If you were all teed up, I just took a sharp right turn.
But... we already mentioned Muscala's line. Dennis Schroeder plus 18 tonight. He was the only one with a positive plus minus. A team high 25 points, 9 of 12. It's pretty cool. I mean, I feel like I reference the Schroeder Muscala story every podcast, but I'm going to reference it again. They are indeed friends, people, and you should read Maddie's story. But they both came into the league at the same time, played 5 years. In Atlanta, so it was kind of interesting to see them go against their former coach, and both of them had really good games. Yeah. Schroeder especially.
Oh my gosh, he was huge in when Giannis came back and started being Giannis again. He was able to come in with those second units and make up the difference, essentially. I mean, not completely, because they were outscored 37-24 in the third quarter, but he was able to make it less of an avalanche and make sure that by the time that they were heading into the fourth, like, that they still were in the game.
Yeah, and like George Hill, Pat Connaughton, I mean, those guys like when he's in there against other subs, like they cannot keep up with him. Like no. This is where he like makes, you know, where he does most of his damage. It's against those other second units. And like, if he's, you know, more and more comfortable, I know in this similar bench role as he was last year, but now he's more of a featured piece, I think. And he is just destroying second units.
Yeah, no. And he shot well. He was 3 of 5 from 3, 9 of 12. Yeah, that's fantastically efficient. 9 of 12 from the field, and was doing his usual.
Yeah, 5 assists, 5 rebounds too.
Yeah, yeah, his usual facilitating thing. And he's so good. They keep talking about how the three guards are interchangeable and this, that, and the, or 3-point guards, and they all can bring the ball up.
I think there are 2-point guards.
Well,
hot take.
Okay.
There are 3-point guards.
I see where you're going, but I'm going a complete opposite way. You're talking about how they only play SGA off ball.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
right.
Not only, but generally play SGA off ball. Schroeder's skill set is so much more like Russell Westbrook's than it is like Chris Paul's. He is so good at getting to the rim, and he is so good at then threatening to go to the rim and kicking out and getting those corner threes.
Yeah, I mean, they would have basically, unless Hamidou Diallo is bringing up the ball, they don't really have a threat to really push it in transition like yeah. they do with Schroeder. Like Paul and SGA play a little bit slower, more methodically. Schroeder, you're right, he's like Westbrook-esque in just getting to the rim and beating everyone down the floor.
Yeah, so he can put, when he's in, he's pushing the pace in a way that the other 2 point guards the other 1.5, 1 or 2 point guards do. And it's like, it's neat to see two different, I mean, the Thunder talks about how that they have to play fast all game, but like two different styles and two different, I'll say two different paces, because when they're talking about getting into their offense quicker or playing faster, they're talking about getting into their offense quicker. And with Schroeder, there's like, he's such a threat in transition, and yeah, he can just get a bucket when he needs to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and he defended well again today. I mean, he continues to sort of lead them in a lot of defensive metrics, which is surprising.
Yeah, and he was super crucial in getting in there with help defense on Giannis, where he'd come in, he'd at least make him think, he'd take a charge. Obviously, the big men are going to be doing a lot more of the overall work, but like they needed to double him and make him see a crowd, and guards like Schroeder were a big part of that.
Who do you think like did the best, going back to Giannis? Like, we saw Gallinari to start,
yeah,
then Baisley, Nerlens Noel, some of the guards mixed in a little bit. Like, did anyone stick out where you were like really impressed with how they defended him?
That's a good question. I was honestly kind of surprised towards the down the stretch. It seemed like Gallinari was back to guarding him, and I was trying to figure out why they weren't using Nerlens.
I thought Nerlens did a good job on
that. That was who I would choose.
Yeah, and you said that before the game.
I think he had 4 fouls by then, so maybe they wanted him on. Who else was out there? Was Brooke Lopez? Same time, so maybe that's where it came in, and they just wanted to give him a little bit of a break. But Nerlens, there was this one series where, granted, like the first part of this is a mistake, but he bit on the pump fake. He's guarding Giannis in the post. He bites on the pump fake and leaps so high that he ends up landing like with his midsection on Giannis's shoulder and flips all the way over him and hit the ground hard.
Yeah.
Like, you could hear it, and I was like, oh my gosh, like that can't be good. And he gets up, and obviously there's a foul, and so the Bucks inbound the ball, and immediately Nerlens takes a charge. It's like, that's exactly what you needed to do in that situation. And like, he's a professional. He's going to do what he needs to do. But going to the ground after you've already just fallen so hard can't just be like a natural thing to do.
No, and like he had, I'm going to forget when this was, but he had this one, like another, another sequence, I think it was in the first half, where he had like, I think a lob and then came back on the other end, had a block, and then he had this crazy athletic play where he jumped out of bounds and like had, you know, saved the ball, and the Thunder ended up not having points on that possession. They missed the shot, but like, he was all over the place and was really giving them great effort.
Yeah, no, that was fantastic. So he, let's see if I can find this.
We should say, and we'll get to this in a little bit.
Yeah.
Nerlens Noel and Mike Muscala are playing so much because Steven Adams was out tonight.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can just say that now.
Spoiler! because none of you guys watched the game. You only see what happened because, or hear what happened because of the podcast.
Of course, of course. Who actually watches basketball when they could just listen to us? he had that left knee contusion that kept him out for a couple of games. He's been back for
three games.
Since. But, yeah, it...
I think it's just because it's a back-to-back.
Yeah, and the Thunder doesn't want to say that, I'm sure, because all of this Kawhi stuff went down. But, I mean, he did hurt that. And Billy Donovan said he doesn't think it's serious. And I asked if there was, like, any specific thing that aggravated it. And he was like, not that I... Like, he doesn't know any specific instance, but he's like, I wouldn't be surprised if he got knocked around. But it seems like it's more of a thing where he still had some soreness, Billy Donovan said, when he first started playing again. And they don't, you know, I don't know. We haven't asked Steven Adams about it. And if we did, he'd just say it's just a bruise. But it's one of those things where, like, why push it?
Yeah. I mean, and you're right. I mean, you nailed this. Every team in the league is super cautious now on how they're labeling things because of Kawhi and the load management
discussion.
So, like, he is officially out with an injury. Although, is a left knee contusion. It's not, like, officially rest or anything like that.
But the thing is, like, the reason that was a big deal was because it was a national TV game. This wasn't a national TV game.
Yeah.
So it's not against the rules for them to rest him.
No one would have noticed, basically. But, like, I think teams are still leery of it.
But, like, load management is a legitimate thing that you can use. You just can't use it in national TV games.
Yeah. Well, they're not calling it that. So, anyway, he's officially out with an injury. But I would be surprised if he didn't play Tuesday at Indiana.
So, Nerlens, this was in the first quarter. He had a dunk, then a block, and then this play where he grabbed a rebound, and then I don't remember. Then maybe the Thunder missed another shot. And it was one of those things where everyone had bailed out because they needed to get back to play transition defense, which the Thunder has had a strong focus on. And so in those situations, basically, they just leave their big and are like, all right, if you get it, you get it. And he battled for this rebound with, like, all, like, surrounded by Bucks players, like, hit it, and then it almost went out of bounds. And then he kept it, like, he swatted it back in and kept from getting it out of bounds. And Thunder got possession back, and then they squandered it again.
It was impressive. I mean, he finished 6 of 9, 14 points. I mean, he played really well. I mean, the Thunder didn't lose this game because Steven Adams was out. I mean, in very, very different ways because they play the same position, but they're totally opposite, is Nerlens Noel and Mike Muscala. But I thought they both filled in admirably. And
yeah. And Nerlens, I mean, he makes sense to guard Giannis because he's both big and quick.
Yeah, he can move around the perimeter better than a guy like Steven Adams can. So, like, he's a good option to put on Giannis. But I think the Thunder played it right because you don't want Giannis to get comfortable against anyone in particular. No. So you just throw several guys at him, different sizes, and make them battle.
Yeah, and they don't have a big lockdown defender who would make sense to... I mean, I don't know if anyone has a guy who could match up on Giannis all game, but... Yeah, Thunder doesn't really have anyone who's...
Paul George is gone. I think we would have seen that some.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's been a thing. Like,
well, Jeremy Grant was great.
Yeah, Jeremy Grant.
At times last year.
Yeah, they're really missing. But they had guys that made sense to guard him. I mean, no one could actually guard him.
Yeah, but even then, you gave him a bunch of different looks because he's that good.
He's phenomenal. I mean, it was a joy to watch him play.
Name two fantastic defensive players. It's not like a knock on the defenders. It's just he's insane.
Darius Bazley was guarding Giannis. Like, that's crazy. The New Balance intern was out there guarding the MVP.
What a time to be alive.
What a world.
He did a good job. I mean, obviously they're tied. Like, one of the that charge that Schroeder took. He had to run in there because Bazley had tried to disrupt the catch, which is the right move. Like, that's how you defend someone like Giannis. But then he lost his footing and he fell, and a smart play by Schroeder to jump in there. Anything else we haven't covered?
No. I'll tell you what. First year on the beat. 10 games in, I've been thoroughly entertained. I mean, this is every game has been really interesting.
It's
I
been
thought.
Fin- yeah. Yeah. Every game has been close generally in positive ways for the Thunder. Not, I mean, the last win against the Warriors, the most recent one.
Yeah, I mean, that was a bad.
That
game.
Was a close game.
This one made up for
because
it.
because they shot themselves in the
that
foot.
That wasn't fun for anybody. That wasn't fun to watch. Wasn't fun for Steve Kerr to watch. Or Billy Donovan. Tonight was good basketball.
Tonight was good basketball. All right. Thanks for joining us. And we will be back with you after game in Indiana. But yeah, subscribe, like it, love it, share it with your friends, your enemies, your pets, your neighbors, your parents, your grandparents, your children. It is a family podcast.
It is. It's family friendly.
And we will see you after the game on Tuesday.